Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Thank you, Mrs. Wamai. Thank you, our super admin. What was it, number one pastor? Thank you, our number one admin. Yes, we are the One Thing Church. We are number one church in some realms. So we have a number one pastor, number one admin. And we are number one congregation, right? Glory to God. There's something I was thinking about when I was coming to church, and Jed's testimony stamped it in for me. I was thinking about 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I think it says, pray without ceasing. Rejoice always. The one I was thinking about was the one that says, in all things, in all situations, give thanks. And there are times when it doesn't make sense to give thanks, you people. And usually when people lose family members or lose friends, it's something that I try to focus on. Because I know during that time you're very down. So I try to encourage these people to give thanks. But I'm like, but you're being sarcastic. You're being like a sadist. Someone is mourning and you're telling them to give thanks. And then I realized we don't necessarily, the Bible doesn't say give thanks for each and everything. So we may not give thanks that we've lost someone, but in that circumstance, because it says in all circumstances, give thanks. So it doesn't matter if it's a happy circumstance or a sad one or a difficult one like Jed was going through, we should give thanks in all circumstances. And she gave thanks and see what came out for her. So I'm just encouraging us to always give thanks even when it doesn't make sense. It's a commandment from God, so just obey. It may not make sense, but it is divine. Glory to God. Today we are going to talk about prayer. I know it doesn't need introduction in this church. Oh, by the way, do we have any first-time visitors today? Any first-timers? Oh, okay. So I don't need to introduce prayer because I know as a church we pray, and I believe that as individuals we also pray when we leave the church. So I'm not going to give it the usual introductions that we give when we are preaching about something, but I also know that while we are Christians, sometimes it is difficult to pray. I think the biggest number of prayer requests I get are from people who are asking me to pray for them to pray. And someone says, man, yeah, testimonies are there and God has been working in my life. Naeba nange, I'm failing to pray. I am not praying. And this doesn't mean that you're not a Christian or that you're failing as a Christian. But sometimes, yes, it happens even for leaders in the church. I don't want to talk generally, but we are everyone is human. So the things you're going through, sometimes other people also face, and sometimes those people are also leaders in the church. So it's not unique to you that sometimes prayer is hard. It happens to everyone. And I'd like to encourage us that we don't have to stay in that place where we are not praying. And it's hard to pray in January. It's difficult in February. It seems impossible in March, but we shouldn't be in the same place in December. And just say, munange, things refused, I can't pray. Because prayer is the main way we communicate with God for many of us. The main way we actually talk to God. God doesn't communicate to us through prayer. God communicates through revelation, through his word. So it's something for us. We are the ones who need to pray because we need to talk to our Father. We need to talk to our Savior. We need to communicate with the Holy Spirit. So it's very important for us to pray. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Genesis is the first book of the Bible for those who may not know. Yes, Genesis. The beginning, chapter 3, verse 8. It says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They heard, that's Adam and Eve, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, I think Pastor Moses told us in the past that God didn't live somewhere where he was not unreachable. Because when it says they heard the sound of the Lord God, that means he was not with them before that, before this moment. But now he was coming towards them. He was coming to them. And the fact that they heard the sound and they knew who it was means it wasn't the first time it was happening. So this is something that had happened to them before, with them before. The Lord God had come to them in the garden in the cool of the day. He used to come to commune with them. Because as we know, Adam and Eve were the first people in the Garden of Eden. They didn't have irritating neighbors. They didn't have children yet. They didn't have parents and families and people asking them when the first child is coming. And all these pressures that we face today, they didn't have. So it made me wonder what God used to talk to them about. Because, you know, many of us, when we go to pray, we are taking our problems to God. We report our bosses, we report our mothers-in-law, we report our children in some cases. We really just go to give God our problems. But Adam and Eve didn't have these problems yet. Maybe they had their own challenges at the time, which I can't relate with now. But God used to come to them just to commune, just to spend time with them. And this is the goal of prayer, as we know it. Rather, as it should be. Prayer is supposed to be a time when we just spend time with God. Now, I'm sure when they would spend, let's say, the afternoon with him, they would tell, you know, he would talk to them, check on them, how have you been, and maybe after the normal greetings and salutations, maybe then they would tell him, oh, we saw the lion running after the deer, we don't know if it meant to eat it, or they were just playing. So maybe the problems also came up. So even us, as we talk to God, those things will come. It's okay to tell God our problems, but it's not the primary goal of prayer. It's not the primary purpose of prayer. So it's not that, you know, when I wake up in the morning and I start, you know, our Father in heaven and I'm done with that, then I start, you know, God, today I need this, you need to make this work, I need fuel for my car, I need fees for my children. He's not a genie, you guys. We don't have a wand that we are just swinging around and God is just answering our prayers. He saved us so we could be with him, so we could commune with him. So he wants to just spend time with us. Even for people, let's say, who are married, can you imagine if every time, if all the hours you spent with your wife, she was telling you the things that are missing at home, that are lacking at home. You reach home in the evening and she says, Nange, today we ate beans because we haven't bought meat in 2 weeks and the children need socks and the other one needs books. Can you imagine? It would be tedious for you as a man. You'd even start avoiding going home. You say, you know what, let me wait for this woman to first sleep, then I'll go home. So just like you also sometimes want to chill with your companion. That's how God wants to be with us sometimes. And as long as we keep regarding prayer as a time for asking God for things, prayer will not be fulfilling for us as people. So let's learn to just spend time with God. Well, even if you don't know how to do that, and maybe for a long time your prayers have been the ones of asking, this time just go to God and say, okay, God, what do you want us to do today? Because he's also there with you. So just ask him, what do you want us to do today? And sometimes you'll be led to worship. Sometimes you'll go to pray and you'll just read the Bible. And you'll not even actually say a prayer. That will just be your time, or that will be your prayer in that moment. Now, when we see one of the times that Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verses 20 to 23. John is in the New Testament. I don't know why I keep feeling the need to tell people. Maybe there are some people here who are opening their Bibles for the first time. John chapter 17, verses 20 to 23. It says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Now this verse sounds very repetitive. These verses actually sound very repetitive. That we may be one, I in you, you in me, I in them, and they may be made perfect, and the world may believe that you have sent me. This was Jesus the Son praying to God the Father. And you see that the goal of his prayer was really that we may be one with him. He could have just prayed for the disciples and said, you know, give them grace, give them strength, give them people to minister to. And it would have still been a prayer. But we see in the prayer his main mulamwa, his mulamwa. I think the mulamwa is already main. His mulamwa is that we will be one with him. Jesus, who is the Son of God, had an opportunity to pray, and his prayer was that we will be one with him as he is one with the Father. Let that be the goal of our prayer. Let us follow the example of Jesus as we pray, that our spirit and our mind, our attitudes, our everything in us will be one with God. And many times we wonder what to pray, because the Bible says, you know, pray the will of God. And when we are one with God, then it is easy to pray, because we are praying the will of the one we are one with. We stop praying our own things, which we don't even know if they are the will of God, and we start to pray his will. It becomes easier for us. Okay? Glory to God. Another thing that can help us to improve our prayer life, you notice I'm saying improve because I'm presuming that we all already have some sort of prayer, you know, prayer life, prayer arrangement, prayer. So there's some prayer happening in your life. Another thing that can help us to improve this or to take it to another level is to nurture an active relationship with God. I say active because it's possible to have a dormant relationship. We have friends, we have actually OGs or OBs who we haven't seen in 20 years, and maybe we chat with them on groups once in a while, WhatsApp groups, but we don't have an active relationship with them. We don't know if they are married or not, if they are working or not. We don't know which countries they live in. We don't know, because the relationship is not active. So it's possible for you to know that, you know, Jesus saved you. He died for you on the cross. And God is your Father. And yes, and we stop there. But it's also possible to have an actual active relationship. And this is through a daily walk with God. Not a weekly walk, a daily walk with God. Now, how do we cultivate this daily walk? How do we cultivate this active relationship? One is through, it's activated through conviction. And conviction is not from us, it's from, you know, it's from the Holy Spirit or from God. Now, conviction is that feeling you get to do something or not to do something, or to say something or not to say something. When Joan was testifying here about last Sunday, she was convicted. She got a conviction. And many times, sometimes, that conviction is from the Holy Spirit. That feeling on the inside of you is from the Holy Spirit. And it's telling you which way to go. You know, it's guiding you, saying, go this way or don't go this way. It's for our good. Many times that conviction is for our good. It's always for our good. So it's not meant to drive you to a place of guilt, because many of us, when we hear conviction, well, legally it leads to guilt. It's not so we can feel guilty and withdraw. No, God is just telling us that, you know, this way is wrong. This way you're taking is wrong. Go this way, or just pull back and maybe wait for further direction. So when we listen to that conviction, it leads us to the will of God. Now, the more we listen to it, the more we grow in our relationship with God, the easier it becomes to identify God's voice. Because many times we are confused. We don't know if it's God's voice or it's our thoughts speaking to us. So every time you hear, for me, at the beginning, there are ways that I didn't know if it was God's voice, but I used to know if it's something good, it must be God's voice. If it's telling me to give, it must be God's voice, because I can't imagine the devil wanting me to help someone. If it's telling me to walk in love, this must be God's voice. So let me do it. So for me, it was about good and bad, or good and not good. And if it was leading me to gossip, I would know, really, this is just me. God can't be leading me to gossip about someone. So at the beginning, that's how I used to tell the difference. But with time, as I kept giving in to the good voice, now I learned to identify when it is the voice of God, because I kept giving in to it and I kept listening to it. And with time, that conviction started helping me. So every time I'm convicted, I don't feel bad. And sometimes it's difficult, because you're convicted in something that you've been enjoying and something that you're comfortable with. And sometimes I even bargain with God and say, but God, this one is not really a sin, because I'm not hurting anyone. But the seed of conviction has been planted. So while I may argue, I also know at the back of my mind that it's something that maybe I need to listen to more or think about more. And then with time I say, you know what, it's God. He's always right, of course. Then I move away from it. So don't let conviction be guilt that drives you away from prayer. Don't let it be guilt that drives you away from God. It's meant to just channel you to a different direction, but still draw you closer to God. Now, we also grow that daily walk through repentance. Many times conviction is supposed to lead to repentance. I've met people many times who say they feel they can't pray because they say, you know, I've done so many things that I don't think God even still wants to talk to me. And I think what makes us feel that way is unrepented sin. I'm not here to accuse us or to make us feel guilty. The things I'm speaking to you are things I also go through. So when I talk about unrepented sin, I know it because I've walked in it before. And when we don't repent, it draws a wider gap between us and God. Because we are going further and further from God and we're saying, God, I don't want to listen to what you're telling me. Or maybe you don't know what is best for me. So I'm not going to repent from this sin that I'm dealing with, that is in my life. I'm going to continue walking in it. And then it draws that gap wider. And then we start to get a hardened heart because now we are not listening to the conviction. Or we hear it and just shelve it and keep pushing it away. We keep pushing it to the back of our minds. And with time, we will not even hear the voice of God. But when we have an attitude of repentance, in that every time we are convicted, we say, you know, it might take you a week, it might take you 3 days, but eventually you come to God and say, okay, you know what you are saying? Yeah, now I see it, and I'm going to change, or I'm going to stop doing this. That draws you closer to God. That grows your daily walk with God. Now, repentance, for many of us who grew up in Catholic and Anglican churches, repentance is a whole event, guys. For Catholics, I think they still go to what is it called? Confession, yes. Now, Anglicans, I was raised Anglican. We didn't have confession, but it was something where you have to sit down and sit with God and repent all your sins. I don't know if any of you can remember all the sins you committed this month. Just March. If I gave you a piece of paper, can you write all of them down? So I always felt like it was inadequate because I would go to God and I say, God, I lied to so and so and I've done this and I've done this and bambi, my heart was in a good place. But then after that session, I would remember other things that I have not confessed. And then it would seem like I'm not being repentant because I haven't given God the whole list. But I want to encourage you that repentance is not about lists. God already knows the things we've been doing. So giving him lists, you're not giving him any new information. Repentance is actually about turning away from that sin. And sometimes I may not even go to God and say, you know what, God, I'm going to stop gossiping. I may not even say it to him, but I know it in my heart. I have felt convicted to stop gossiping. And I just purpose in my heart that, you know what, I need to stop gossiping. And even if I don't go to God and tell him that now, you know, this one I'm going to do. And I just start walking along that line. I reduce my gossip channels. Maybe if something has been leading me or triggering that gossip thing, I stop doing it, I stop engaging in it, and with time I actually stop gossiping. That is repentance. So I have not gone to the box for confession. I have not given God a list and said, you know what, God, last week I gossiped about 20 people, this week it was 10. No, but I have stopped gossiping. And for me, that is what repentance is. You're turning away from the thing that is sin. You're turning away from the thing that you've been convicted in. Now, if you've been failing to pray because of a certain sin that has been, you know, holding you back, I want you to know that none of us deserves God's mercy, really. And the Bible says we have all sinned. We have all fallen short. So I don't know if you are a bigger sinner than others in saying those people, you think that those people who pray are holy. No, they're also sinners. But for them, when they sin, they go back to God and say, God, I'm still struggling with this one. What do I do? So even you, in your big sin or in your overwhelming sin, please learn to take it to God. Because when it keeps you away from God, I don't know where you go, by the way, when you don't go to God. Because me, I don't know the other places to go to. So when it keeps you away, where do you take this sin? Where do you go? Who do you tell? Who helps you with it when you don't tell God? So don't let it keep you from God. In fact, it should draw you closer and you come and say, you know what? Jesus came to die for the sinner. So I'm the sinner that Jesus came to die for. So if I run away from him, who am I going to? So go to Jesus and you say, you died for my sin. So the sin that you died for is here. It is tormenting me. I want to turn from it, but I've brought it to the cross. So let repentance be something that grows that daily walk, that grows that active relationship with God. I think repentance is also taking full responsibility for our thoughts and our words and our actions, which lead us to this sin, you know. Many times it's very easy and it's nice to blame the devil. You know, the devil has been leading me to do this. The enemy is tormenting me. He's leading me to do this. But as long as we push the blame to the devil, then there's no part for us. There's nothing for us to repent from. It's actually the devil who is to blame. So, yeah, I'm blameless. But when we accept that we are the ones who are leading ourselves into those places that are growing our sin, that we are the ones who are encouraging the relationships which are not good for us, that we are the ones who are maybe listening to messages and videos that encourage these sins in our minds, then we have something to repent about. Then we can be honest with God and say, you know what? I like going to this place, but I know it is not good for me. Give me an alternative, or help me find the strength to not go to this place again. And that will, you know, help us in turning away from these things. Now, repentance will keep our souls and our minds and our bodies alert to the presence of God, which is what we are trying to do here in growing an active walk with God. And when we have a daily walk with God, it's something that happens throughout our day. It's not only in the mornings or in the afternoon. It keeps us seeking God as we go on with our day. If we want to stay aware of God and want to be sensitive to His presence in our lives, we have to live this life of repentance. And anytime you're convicted of sin, whether it is on your way to work, whether you're sitting at your desk, don't wait for evening to get home and say, when I go home to pray is when I'll repent this. No. You don't have to kneel down. You don't have to, the person sitting next to you doesn't have to know. It's something that is happening in your heart between you and God. So when you feel the conviction, you repent and say, you know what, God? Yes, I have heard and I would like to do better. Say that prayer in your heart. And if we do that, we stay alert to the presence of God throughout our day. And we stop passing things off as coincidence. We stop passing things off as, it was bound, you know, it was going to happen anyway. I was just in that place when it happened. We start to recognize that it is God speaking to us throughout the day. God doesn't only speak to us in the morning when we wake up. He doesn't only speak to us when we are in the prayer closet or at night when we are going to bed. He speaks to us throughout the day. And in so many ways and so many forms that I think we miss very many of them, because we have an expectation of when I go to pray is when He'll speak to me. When I go to church on Sunday, He'll speak to me through the testimonies. We miss so many other things. So practice the awareness of God throughout your day. Practice being in the presence of God throughout your day, from even as you leave your home. So for many of us, when we wake up in the morning is when we pray. And then when we leave that space, it's like we've left God behind. But as you prepare your children for school, pray for those children, because you're sending them into a world. You don't know what will happen at school that day. You don't know what's going to happen to the friends they are coming in contact with. So pray for your children as you prepare them for school. As you leave home, pray for the car. You've had Mark's testimony and Pastor's testimony. Pray for your car as you get into your car to go to work. Or as you get into a taxi, pray for that taxi driver. You don't know what they were taking the whole night. You know, these people take things in the night, and in the morning they are taking 14 lives to work, 14 lives that have families and have so many other lives attached to them. So pray for that taxi driver. Pray for the other people on the road. There are many other people using the road, people riding bicycles, the border guys. Pray for them as you go to work. And this doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to walk around your desk saying, God help me, Jesus help me, Jesus. No. You'll have breaks where you also think about your other things. You'll have breaks where you read your books, where you work. But in your spirit, you're awake. You're praying in your spirit. And that's what the Bible says, pray unceasingly. We are to pray at all times. And that's what it means, that as we go throughout our day, we are praying. As you reach work, pray for that boss who has been stressing you and who has been the topic of your prayer for the last 3 months. Pray for that boss. Maybe they're not even a bad person, but they're just going through something also. Just like you're going through some things at home, your boss is also a human being. He has things he's going through. He has mortgages and loans, and maybe the loan sharks are on his head and he's projecting those things on you, and you start to say, Banange, my boss doesn't like me. Pray for that boss. You don't know what they are going through. Pray for them. Pray for the people at work. And you'll find that you'll spend the whole day in prayer, and that awakens you to God's voice, and that encourages your daily walk with God. Another thing that grows this daily walk is for us to lean in. So we have been convicted. We have been repentant, or we've grown our attitude of repentance, but we also have to lean in. And the Bible verse that speaks for me, that perfectly says what I mean when I say lean in, is Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 23. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." It starts with give attention to my words. For me, that is leaning in. We lean in by inclining our ear to what God is saying to us. This is what he's saying to us in the Bible, and what he's also saying to us throughout the day. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Read what God is saying to you. And after you have heard it, do not let it depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. What you have heard, when you incline your ear, what you have heard God saying, keep it in the midst of your heart. What you have read that God is saying to you, keep it in the midst of your heart. What are you keeping it for? It's not just so you have a lot of knowledge and a lot of information for arguing. Have you ever met people who are arguing and they are using the Bible, guys? Those guys have information, eh? They know what they are saying. So this is not why we are keeping these words in our heart. We are keeping them for ourselves so that we can meditate on them throughout the day. Because they are life to those who find them, and they are health to our flesh. We've been praying for healing here. Many of our testimonies last week and this week were about healing. And as we pray for healing, the Bible says that the word of God is health to all our flesh. Another version says it's health to their bones. So for us to be healed, we need this word in our heart. We need to meditate on it. We need to incline our ear to what it says. And then it ends with, keep your heart with all diligence. How are you keeping your heart? We keep our heart by surrounding it with this word, with the word that we are hearing and the word that we are reading. That's what will guard our hearts. For out of this heart that we are guarding springs the issues of life. Now, I don't know what is dominant in your heart, but what is dominant is what is going to feed your life. It's what is going to manifest. Because out of the heart springs the issues of life. So if we are constantly worried, this is what is going to come out of our hearts. If we are constantly bitter, this is what is going to come out of our hearts. I know somebody who... I don't want to use the word whine. I don't know a good word for whining, but I know someone who every time they call me, I umtima gwesika, because I know what is coming in this conversation, and it's something that stresses me, because I know from the beginning of the conversation to the end of it they are going to be whining. Now it's okay to whine once in a while, but it shouldn't be a lifestyle. So I see their call and I'm like, vanang. But then I've been praying for them and I'm like, maybe Bambi they want me to pray for them. So I pick the call and, hi, how are you? How are the boys? Munang, I tell you what happened to me today. And then it begins. And I have tried to explain to this person that, you know what, you carry around bitterness, because from the morning, I actually keep telling her that she's looking for problems. From the morning, it's like when you wake up, therefore you're like, okay, how is my boss going to offend me today? How is the guy in traffic going to annoy me today? And that is what is going to happen, because you are looking for it. Out of your heart is coming bitterness and complaining and whining. And that is what is going to be the issues in your life. And I keep telling them, you know what, today when you wake up, decide that, you know what, I am going to be happy today. Even if my boss annoys me, I'm going to be happy. I am going to choose happiness. And with time, you will see that springing out in the issues of your life. So this is a call for us to lean in to what God is saying to us. Lean into his word. Lean into his calling. Lean into the things that, you know, God has called you to in the past. Keep them in your heart. Meditate on them. Let them be the issues in your life. when you call someone, share your issues. Let them be the issues that God has placed on your heart, not the ones that the world has placed on your heart, because those ones are there, and there are many. And if we lean into them, more will come. So lean into God and let more of what God is talking to you be the things that become the issues in your life. Glory to God. Another way we can improve our prayer life, no surprises here, is to pray regularly. We will have to pray to actually improve our prayer life. If we keep saying banango kusaba kuganye, it will also continue refusing. There've been moments in my life where I have had to force prayer. I am not feeling it, but I know that I should pray. But every time I wait for it, it doesn't come. And sometimes I even go and kneel down, and 5 minutes later, I find that I've not spoken a word of prayer because there are many other things maybe on my mind, or it's not flowing, you guys. There are those days when it doesn't flow. But I know that it's something that I should be doing, because when Jesus said when you pray, he didn't say if you pray, he said when you pray. So it's something that I'm expected to be doing. So I said, you know what, let me just pray. Maybe the feeling will come. So you start with even just the Lord's Prayer. I said, you know what, it's okay, I have a template here, I don't have to go very far. I don't have to make things up that are refusing to come. It's okay, I'll go every morning, I will say the Lord's Prayer, and I will say the grace. Every morning, every evening, the Lord's Prayer and the grace. And even during the day when I'd feel like, you know, pray, I'd say, okay, let me just pray the grace. Maybe the Lord's Prayer now is very long. You know, when you're not in the mood, the prayer becomes long, yeah? So you're like, I'll just pray the grace, it's quick. Or I'll just, you know, pray the blessing of the Lord. And I just find those quick ones to pray. And I'm like, you know what, I'm praying. I wouldn't be feeling it. It's not there. But you have to pray on a regular basis for you to actually start praying, for you to actually build a practice of prayer. In Psalms 55:17, David said, evening, morning, and noon I will pray. Evening, morning, and noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. There are so many verses in the Bible, and we keep saying these things, you know, God, hear my voice. But if we are not praying, what voice do we want him to hear? We are not saying anything. We are not praying. We wake up, leave our bed. You know, some of us keep our alarm for the last minute possible. Eh? The last possible minute, there's no gap for praying. If you have to leave the house at 6:30, the alarm is for like 6:15 because it's just enough time for you to bathe and throw on your clothes and leave the house. So you wake up and you're ready running. And that's how you start your day. You run through traffic, you run to work, you reach work. Everything is chop, chop, chop in your life. And at the end of that day, you're saying, but God, for me, you're not doing this for me, but you haven't even asked God to do anything. And while he already knows our needs, and he knows the places we are afflicted in, he's not a God who forces things on us. I mean, he didn't force salvation. The biggest decision in your life, salvation, is not forced on you. So how is he going to force blessing on you? So if you don't go to him and pray, then there's no voice for him to hear. And now David, a man after God's heart. David's CV, for me, is a very big deal. But this man with a big CV also goes and says, evening, morning, and noon, I will pray. You guys, David prayed on a regular basis. Jesus prayed, actually. If we go through Luke, through John, we'll see that Jesus prayed. Now, if Jesus, who is God, prayed, what do we trust? Where is our strength coming from for us not to pray? Just follow the example of Jesus and just learn that you have to pray if your prayer life is going to improve. Daniel 6:10. Daniel is also a man with a big CV. In my books, he has a big CV. And it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. So this Daniel, this man with a big CV, prayed 3 times, as was his custom. Now, I don't think that without this prayer, these people would have these big CVs that I respect so much. So the CVs came out of their lives being in, you know, being one with God, or in trying to be one with God. That's where they get the big CVs. So many times we are praying, especially in the churches where they pray in Uganda, eh? They say, make me like David. You guys, if they give you David's things to do, can we handle them? Do we have the prayer life, the faith to support these things? But we want to be like David. We want to be like Daniel. If they tell you, Kale, today you go in the den of the lion, can you enter? Or you'll start saying, this is the one time God won't close its mouth, so no, I am not going. So while we are praying to be like these people, let's actually emulate them. They prayed. And I'm not saying you should pray three times a day. These are just scriptures to guide us as we talk about this. I'm not saying it's going to be three times a day or, you know, pray five times a day. But speaking, actually, now that I talk about it, do you know that Christians and born-again Christians are the only religion that I know of that don't have an organized prayer life? And that has made us very complacent. It has made us very lazy. The Muslims that we talk about here, sometimes you guys, those guys pray five times a day. And religiously, I live near a mosque. Now I actually use it as an alarm clock because I told my children, when that Muslim starts singing and you're not yet in bed, we have a problem. So now when the Muslim starts, you hear feet scattering. Have you done this? Have you finished this? So those guys, five times a day religiously, whether it has rained or the sun is out or they've had a bad day or I don't know what has happened, those guys, five times a day. And on time, they are praying. But for us, because we don't have those rules and those obligations, we decide to push prayer to the end of the day when we are tired and we are worn out and the world has already abused us, and that's when we go to God. And you guys, when you're tired, you can't even concentrate. I have tried reading my Bible at night and in the morning, and it's not that the same. In the morning, I have a fresh mind. It's a clean slate, and everything I read in the morning has a way of flowing in, and then it's stuff that I'll, you know, chew on during the day. But when I go back in the evening and I still want to read, I read two lines and then I remember something from during the day. Then I read three lines and I remember something that I was supposed to do and then I didn't do. And then I get out my to-do list for the next day and I update it. Then I go back to the Bible. It is not the same. First off, you're tired. Secondly, your mind is polluted with so many other things that have gone on during the day. And third, it's not something you're committed to. It's something you're doing just because, yeah, I have to read my Bible every day, so let me do it and go to bed. So there's that thing, you know, let me do it and finish and go to bed. Let me do it and finish and go to bed. So you're rushing through the Bible, which is not something that we should be doing. But when we organize ourselves and we organize our day, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but like the Muslims, I didn't think there was ever a time in my life I would use them as an example. Now you know that, you know, when I wake up at 5, maybe I wake up early instead of waking up at 6:30, I'm going to wake up at 5, and 5 to 6 or 5 to 5:15, whatever time it is a time for praying. There's no rush to say, you know what, let me finish quickly and then I go and bathe. No, because that is time you've set aside to pray. That is time that is dedicated to prayer. You'll do it when you're relaxed. If you need to, you can even put another alarm on your phone for reminding you that now it's time to go and bathe, because sometimes you get carried away. And then you get into your bathing time and your dressing up time. And then it's time to drop the kids and you're not ready. So you can have two alarms. One to start the prayer and one to remind you that now you need to get into your, you know, your usual routine for that day. So I'm encouraging us to have these organized times because it will help us with praying. If it's something that we don't prioritize, it will always be, you know, and it will be AOB in our lives. And as you know, AOB is something that we don't have to do. It's something that I can push to tomorrow. And this happens. I've experienced it before. You push it to tomorrow and then Wednesday, and before you know it, the week is done. And you've not actually sat down to spend time with God. Who you want to do all these things for you. And I'm not saying he's going to do them for you because you're praying. We don't pray as a works. We don't pray to earn salvation. Praying is not earning us things. We are praying to just spend time with our God, to just grow in him, to lean in. That helps us to lean in, to build this daily walk that we want. And when we pray often, we also don't become shy to go back when we have problems or when we have challenges, because that's what stops people from praying. Something, you're going through a time where you're afflicted, but you can't go to God because you know that you've not been going. So you become shy. Or you're like, that's where that statement comes in over, I mean, I can't even go to God. I don't think he wants to see me. Guys, if you've been seeing God from Monday to Friday, on Saturday, you're not going to fear to tell him the thing that is bothering you, because you know that it's actually as if you're right to tell him, because you've been spending time with him. And it's like people who call you only to borrow money. They don't call you the whole year. Okay, the whole month. Then at the end of the month, they call you. They're like, hi, Somunange, do you have a I need a soft loan. First of all, for you, the person they are calling, you're going to stop answering their calls because they don't call you other times. And I'm not saying God is like this. But as also someone who has only called people when I need them, I know that it's a very difficult thing to do. So maybe I need the Kamane on Wednesday. And then I say, oh, let me call Juliana. But then I remember, I last called Juliana when I was paying her money. So now I'm ashamed. So I start now by just greeting, hey, how have you been? I haven't seen you at church lately. How is everything? But guys, I need that Kamane. So now I greet her, I finish. So now on Thursday morning, I'm like, okay, let me ask her. But I'm like, I'm going to be so obvious. So I send her a link to maybe someone I've been hearing. Until now I'm thinking about her. So that when I ask her for money on Friday, it's not obvious, but Juliana will know because the whole month I've not contacted her. And now after contacting her 3 days later is when I'm asking her for a loan. So that's why we feel guilty going to God because we've not been going. So if you go on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and then you're afflicted on Thursday, it will be easy for you to say, God, banange, today I was hard, this happened. But now when you haven't been going January, February, March, and then April that affliction comes, you'll be like, Vanange, how will I go to God? How will I start telling him these things? So let's pray on a regular basis. It will be hard sometimes, but make it a priority in your life. Colossians 4:2 says, continue earnestly in prayer. It doesn't say start earnestly. It says continue, meaning it's something that we've already been doing. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. We're supposed to be vigilant in prayer. And we can't be vigilant at things that are AOB to us. We can only be vigilant in things that are priorities to us. So we prioritize so many other things in our lives. We prioritize our children and our spouses and our families and our work. And these things we prioritize above God. Sometimes we know it and it's at the back of our minds. That conviction is there. And you keep saying, man, I need to change, I need to improve. And you keep saying it, and a month ends and the year ends. And other times we don't know that we are prioritizing these things above God. But maybe this is your conviction. Maybe this message is for you. So build this prayer. I call them prayer practices, but it's not just something that we are practicing. It's something that we are actually doing because we want to spend time with God, because we want to grow in him. Glory to God. That is all I have for you today. God bless you. And this week, I pray that you will grow in prayer. If you're not growing in it and you're just starting, I pray that you will start. And that God will give you the strength and the grace to continue in it. God bless you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.